heart and let the light of his love come in. I'm gonna open up all of my doors.
I'm gonna open up all of my doors.
I'm gonna open up all of my doors and let the light of his love come in. I'm gonna
say a prayer
every day till some happiness,
happiness comes my way.
I'm gonna open up all of my doors and let the light of his love come in.
I'm gonna open up the front door, the wide door, the back door, the side door, all the doors of my heart.
Gonna open up the left door, the right door, the day door, the night door. Now's the time to start.
I'm gonna
put aside everything,
cause I wanna hear the happy angels sing.
Gonna open right up all the doors of my heart and let the light of his love come in. I'm gonna
open up all of my doors.
Gonna
open up all of my doors.
Gonna
open up all of my doors
and let the light of his love come in.
I'm gonna
say a prayer
every day till some happiness,
happiness comes my way.
Gonna open up all of my doors and let the light of his love come in.
Gonna open up the front door, the wide door, the back door, the side door, all the doors of my heart.
Gonna open up the left door, the right door, the day door, the night door.
Now's the time to start.
I'm gonna
put aside everything,
cause I wanna
hear the happy angels sing.
Gonna open right up all the doors of my heart and let the light of his love come in.
Gonna open up the front door, the wide door, the back door, the side door, all the doors of my heart.
Gonna open up the left door, the right door, the day door, the night door.
Now's the time to start.
I'm gonna
Mr. Kevin Brown.
We do.
He's the one that made the coffee today. He made the coffee today. This is a Jimmy Fortune song. I hope you enjoy. The title of it is I Believe.
When I see the sun rise in the morning, when I
Calvary, and I believe
place called Calvary. And I believe in a man whose name is Jesus.
And I believe that he gave his life for me. Oh, and I believe that he gave life for me.
Kevin Brent. And just to let you know, you got Brother Matt Lanham. You're going to hear from him a little later on. He's going to preach for 4 or 5 hours for you today. So you will definitely remember his name over there. Brother Kevin Brown, you know, like that. And he's here only because Becky brings him. And then Mr. Terry Lee behind me. Mr. Terry Lee on the keyboards over there, Mr. Terry Lee. Mr. Terry Lee is going to play a thing for you. It's called How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art this morning. So, Mr. Terry Lee, take all the
joy comes with Favorite songs that we always get a lot of requests for.
We do.
A lot of requests for Kevin to sing this whenever his wife is here. So, call us. We even had one request when she wasn't here. That was amazing to me. Anyway, wonderful job. You have a beautiful weekend, do you not? To enjoy Labor Day.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. Make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday.
Come down to sing for you today, and I know that I tell you, Becky and Kevin have been so diligent, so faithful for all the services during the summertime, and I know this is your last service down here for the season, so it's our honor to be coming down and be invited to sing for you today. We're going to finish up here. Mr. Matt Lanham does a song, and it's probably our most requested song over there. It's a little thing called "Oh What a Savior." Oh, what a Savior. I hope you enjoy it.
He gave his life's blood for even me. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, and no hope within. I see and they scourged through heaven, and they found my Savior, and he gave his life's blood for even me. Oh, what a Savior, oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed stark. His side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing, but his hand will lead me safe home. Then I'll join the chorus in that great city, and I'll sing of them forever and evermore.
Once again, thank you for allowing us to come down and just worship and music with you today. And we just hope you enjoy the day. We hope you enjoy the sunshine. We hope you love the message that Brother Matt is gonna bring for you. It's just gonna rattle your bones over there, make you smile over there. And trust me, folks,
no pressure.
It's just story. Come down and just enjoy the day. Just think of the good things. We sang on Friday. We sang at a funeral over there. I came back from South Carolina. Yeah, folks from South Carolina. I loved going down there this past week and being run off by a hurricane. That was just marvelous, you know, like that. It was just wonderful timing on like that. And we came up, we sang in the funeral, and I tell you, people say, well, you sing these songs and you sound kind of lighthearted about it, because trust me, folks, I don't take myself as seriously. Last year, I think we sang and spoke at like 27 funerals. Can you believe that? And the problem is, we didn't pre-schedule any one of them. Can you believe that? These people, they don't die on my schedule. They die on God's schedule over there. So you don't know what's going to be. You don't know what's going to happen in the future over there. So folks, just kind of relax and enjoy the goodness of God. Don't take yourself so seriously. We had a concert over there, and last time we had a concert, lady walked in. I'm sitting over greeting folks, and she said, and they had put books down so they could sit on the pews, a couple of them did. And she walked up, and she said, is this pew saved? I go, no, ma'am, but we're praying for it very diligently, like this, you know. And she kind of stopped and looked and, oh, I get it over there like that. So, folks, you just enjoy the goodness of the Lord today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do a little goodbye, girl. World goodbye.
I told all my troubles goodbye. Goodbye to tear inside. This world where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for that land in the sky. I walk and I talk with my Lord. I feast every day on His word. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. I'm gonna rise with my Lord to the sky. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. I won't have the blues anymore when I step across to that shore. And I'll never hide, for I'll leave behind my heartaches and tears evermore. A day may be tuned in goodbye. Tomorrow I'll rise up and fly. Heaven is near and I can't see. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. I'm gonna rise with my Lord to the skies. Heaven is near and I can sing. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Goodbye, God bless. Turn.
He sings for donuts. Thank you, Matt Calvary Singers. Alrighty, folks. I hope you enjoyed their singing this morning. And if you'll please, if he's recuperated from all that singing, put your hands together for Reverend Matt Lannon. Please give him a nice hand. Welcome this morning.
That's your fresh babies.
That's fresh babies.
Fresh babies.
Oh, need more water?
No, I just went there.
I got one.
Kinds of stuff. Test.
Test.
There we go.
Test.
You there?
Go.
There you go. That's your heart.
All right.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I think we had a couple new people, so I hate to take time to introduce myself every time, but since we've got new people. Brother Kevin said, my name is Matt Lannon, and Pastor Charlie and Brother Terry are from a little church in Alexandria, Virginia called Mount Calvary Community Church, and I have the honor of being the assistant pastor there. But in addition to that, I'm also a chaplain in the Air Force, and in fact, I just got in last night, just flew back. Just for today. I didn't want to get in trouble. I knew I would be in trouble if I didn't make it back today, but I just flew in last night from Colorado Springs, Colorado. So I'm still coming down from a higher elevation.
He'd still be in bed in Colorado, so wake up.
I am. We're 2 hours behind there. I'd be up by now. My goodness, it's almost 8 o'clock. But it is a little bit of an elevation change to come here. And for whatever reason this time, it's a lot drier in Colorado Springs than it is here. And so my lips are drier than, I don't know, I don't usually have that problem. But I was also, one of the things that we get to do as a chapel team, we get to do all kinds of fun stuff in addition to the serious stuff. And so Thursday and Friday this week, I was actually on the Arkansas River, which is in Colorado. That one threw me off. I thought we were making a much longer trip than what we made to get to the river. But either way, we went to the Arkansas River and we're whitewater rafting for a couple of days, and then sitting around the fire, camping on Thursday night, just sharing all kinds of spiritual things. It was a really good experience. Definitely a lot of fun. But all that to say, I got a lot of sun and got a lot of wind and everything else. So bear with me this morning. This morning, if you have your Bibles, or if you've got one of, that's a hymnal, if you've got one of ours, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 18.
Page 496 of the church Bible.
496, if you've got one of our church Bibles here. Proverbs 18. We're just going to do one verse this morning. Short and sweet. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in this place this morning. We thank you for each one that made the decision and made the effort to come out to worship this morning. I pray that you give safety to Pastor Charlie and Terry and Jennifer as they head north. And pray that they would have a wonderful and a blessed service up the road in Mount Calvary this morning as well. I just pray that you be with them. Lord, in the next few minutes as we look into your word, I pray that you help us to receive the message that you have for us for this time. That everything that I say would bring honor and glory to your name, and that they would be your words and not mine. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Might be a familiar verse, might not be. It's short, but there's, in fact, in my Bible, it's only 3 lines. In fact, it's probably about 2.5 lines, because the second line there is half a line. But it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, when I was growing up, every summer my family's church would host a homecoming service, as we used to call them. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a homecoming service. I grew up in a small little Baptist church, and if you've ever been to a special service at a Baptist church, you know that we can't do anything without having a potluck to go along with it. We like to eat, and inevitably at one of these events you have more food than anyone there could possibly eat. Of course, we make a good effort at it as well. But one year, after we were done eating, there were a group of adults that, and you know, we would all be, as they would say, dinner on the grounds, didn't actually eat on the ground, but outside of the church there, and you know, we would set up badminton and volleyball and all these things, and there was one year that there were a group of some of the older kids and some of the adults that were playing volleyball. Meanwhile, myself, also in high school at the time, I was helping out with some of our youth, some of our, you know, elementary, junior high age kids. And I don't know, in fact, Alex and I were talking about a little bit of this coming down. If you've ever gotten to work in any kind of ministry like that, you'll know that it's probably not the best decision to put a slightly older kid in charge of slightly younger kids, because at the end of the day, the slightly older kid is still a kid.
Anyways, that's what they did. And of course, I was in the pastor's family, so maybe they thought I was a little bit more mature, I guess. But either way, we were playing with the kids there, and what we were doing, we had a bed sheet that we were holding, and we would put water balloons in it, and just, you pull it tight, and it launches the balloon, kind of like a catapult. And of course, you know, the kids are dodging, or some of them are trying to hit it. Either way, there's balloons going out, and then we flipped it around to where, okay, now you toss the water balloons on the sheet, and we'll hold it, and you try to keep the water balloons from breaking. All this to say we were playing with water balloons, which, there again, when you've got kids, regardless of age, playing with water balloons, inevitably something's going to happen. And of course, I was, you know, gently tossing the balloons to the kids who were holding the sheet. And one of my good friends at the time, he was actually a year older than me, so he should have known better, even more better. That sounded right when I said it in my head. I don't think that's right. Either way, a little jet lag there, but he should have known better. But either way, we looked at the kids, and we saw that the kids were starting to get a little bit tired, a little bit bored with what we were doing, and we kind of looked over and saw the older folks playing volleyball, and I think they might have even been playing croquet and some other more sophisticated things than water balloons. And so what we instead did, instead of playing there in our little area, we got the couple 5-gallon buckets full of water balloons that were left, and we just started lobbing them toward the volleyball players and the croquet players and the adults, the older folks, who, of course, all the women were saying, "My hair, not my hair." And of course, you know, I mean, we were having a ball at that point. And of course, we were truly out of control. And we didn't stop this attack until both of those buckets were completely empty of water balloons. And of course, the kids wanted more, and the volleyball players, the croquet players, the older folks kept looking at the sky, waiting for more missiles of dread to come their way. Our water balloons, which, looking back on this, and this was quite a few years ago, our water balloons were conveniently shaped like grenades. I don't know if you ever saw that. I don't even know if they still make them like that. But when you fill them up, they look exactly like a hand grenade. But they were small. Those of you that have played with water balloons, for the most part, the water balloons are small. And yet they had the ability to cause both delight when we were playing with them gently and tossing them, or for the kids who were throwing them at the adults. And then for the adults and the older folks, they were causing destruction and dread and fear. It's the exact same water balloon. We didn't have a bucket of delightful water balloons and a bucket of dreadful water balloons. They were all the same water balloons. It was just who was using them and how they were being used. This morning, this small little verse in the book of Proverbs, and it might seem silly to use an example like that, but I'm a visual learner, so if I can put something visually to a concept, it helps me understand a little bit better, and I think it helps a lot of other people too. But just like those water balloons, our words have the same power. They can either bring joy to those that are around us, or they can cause despair. Words can hurt, or they can heal. They can devastate, or they can cause delight. If you read through the book of Proverbs, if you've never taken the opportunity to do that, I encourage you to do that as well. Conveniently, it has 31 chapters. So you can, if you have a month that has 31 days, you can do a chapter, and they're relatively short, and the verses are relatively short. You can conveniently do a chapter of Proverbs a day and be done with it in a month. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And most biblical scholars think that it was more than likely written by King Solomon, who was considered one of the wisest individuals to have ever lived because he had asked God for wisdom. And so scholars believe that he wrote these passages and these words, these proverbs, for possibly one of his sons. Because when you read through this, you see like the examples that are given are like they are from a father to a son. And there's so many good things. In fact, people quote Proverbs all the time. Even people outside of the church quote Proverbs, not even realizing that they're quoting the scripture. I heard someone say something to me when I was at the Air Force Academy last year. They said something. It was one of the commanders, and he was talking in front of his unit, those that he was in charge of, and he used a little phrase, and I had to smile to myself because he thought he was quoting, I'm sure, some kind of just inspirational speaker. And then I went up to him afterwards and I said, sir, do you know where that came from? He's like, oh yeah, so-and-so said it. And I said, do you know who so-and-so got it from? He's like, no. I said, it's right in Proverbs. He's like, oh, I did not know that. So anyways, all that to say, there's a lot of good things in here, but this one particular passage, and as I was thinking about what to speak on this morning, I kept coming back to this thought because, so I was on orders at the Air Force Academy last year. In fact, I missed most, if not all, of last summer here because I got there in July. End of July, I was supposed to have been there for 2 months and ended up being there for 11 months. And then I was home for a little bit more than a month. I had to go back for a month. I was supposed to have been there for 2 weeks and it turned into a month. But either way, one of the things that we as chaplains deal with the most are people coming in that are just being inundated with all the troubles and the trials and the strife of everyday life. And then when you throw the military piece on top of that, it makes things that much more difficult. But what I've seen, and I've been in the Air Force now almost 13 years, not all of that as a chaplain, but either way, what I've seen in that time, and I've seen it outside of the Air Force as well, is that a lot of the instances when we get so depressed and so burdened down and just so tired of life, a lot of times it's because of the things, not necessarily just because of the things that are going on around us, but because of the people that are around us that are talking about all of the things that are going on around us. If you get on your phone, and my phone's over there, but if you get on your phone and you go on Facebook or you go on Twitter or you go on whatever site you want to go on, news site, or you turn on the news on TV, it is one bad thing after the other. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of bad things going on in this world. There are bad people all around us. There are people who even just this morning are getting possibly the worst news that they could have ever imagined because they're being told about something that has happened to someone that they care about. But all of those pieces and all of those the social media and the news media, they feed off of that bad news. Because it's scientifically proven that that's going to keep you scrolling. That's going to keep you watching. That's going to keep you clicking. Because it's the same way that when you drive past an accident on the interstate, you immediately do this. Because our human nature feeds off of that. And just like our human nature feeds off of that negativity and that, all those bad things, someone once said that attitude is contagious. And that works both ways. If you walk into a room and you are happy and you are smiling and you're greeting everybody and say, hey, how are you doing this morning? You can watch that room instantly light up. But if you're the type of person that's sitting at your desk every day or sitting in your house every day or wherever you happen to be and you start singing, woe is me. What's the old song? Gloom, despair, and agony. Guess what the people around you are going to start doing? They're going to get in that same attitude, that same mindset that you have. That's what this verse, one of the things that this verse is talking about, is the power of our word. That's what we're going to look at here in the next couple of minutes. Our words either launch life, or as this verse says, they deliver death. Everything that you said this week either assassinated or invigorated the people that are around you, because words have the power to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. I'm not going to ask you to do this morning because it would be kind of silly, but if you were to stick your tongue out this morning, plus if my mother, who tends to click on to things like this and listen whenever I'm speaking, would probably have a fit because I asked you to do this, so I'm not going to ask you to do this. But if you were to stick your tongue out this morning, I'm sure you've stuck your tongue out at some point in your life. Can you see it when you stick it out? You might be able to see just a little bit of it. But if you were to look in a mirror at your tongue, compared to the size of the rest of your body, you notice how small of a thing it actually is. But it's actually one of the most powerful forces in the world. There have been people that have literally been pushed to the brink of existence, pushed over the edge because of words that have been said to them that were so hurtful that they decided that they didn't want to live anymore. On the other side of that, there have been people that have been, because of the words that were spoken to them in the gospel message that was shared with them through the spoken word, they accepted Christ and their lives were completely changed for the better. Wars have been started. Wars and peace have been gained just because of the words that we speak. Truly, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here's the decision I hope all of us choose to make before we leave this place today. And that is, I will use my tongue to launch life instead of delivering death. I will use my tongue to launch life instead of delivering death. Real quickly, first point is this: our words are powerful. I've already talked about this morning a lot, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more, especially what this verse has to say about it. Our words are powerful. The first thing that we see in this verse is the power of the tongue. Specifically, in this translation, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is the word for strength. If we look at this in the original Hebrew, the same word that we get strength from is the same word that they're getting power when they translated this verse. During World War II, the government printed posters that showed a drowning sailor or drowning soldier in the ocean. And at the bottom of this poster, there was a short little phrase that said, "Loose lips sink ships." And the concept and the context behind this was, hey, don't go talking about all the things that you're seeing. We were in war, a global war. And especially around the shipyards and things like that, if you went home or you were out at the grocery store or you happened to be wherever you were at, and you're like, oh, did you see, we've got 12 new ships out there that are being built. There were spies and people listening all over the place. And they immediately hear that and they go back and type up a little telegram or whatever they were using to send their messages, and they're saying, well, we've got 12 new ships. Or there's 5,000 people, 5,000 soldiers moving into this area. Loose lips sink ships. I assume if you were to recreate that today, it might say something like loose tweets sink fleets or something to that effect. But either way, the concept was the power of your words. People that were going home and or going about and talking to their friends and things like that about what they were seeing, they were just excited. Especially some of these smaller areas that had never seen anything like this before, they were excited. They weren't intending to cause harm. And yet, that's what happened. Words are powerful for at least three reasons. First of all, words are everywhere. According to researchers, on an average day, we open our mouth to speak 700 times. That's in one day. Using at least 7,000 words. I'm not going to do the math this morning, mainly because I'm too tired to do math, but if you were to multiply 7,000 words by the average 365 days in a year, that's a whole lot of words that we use on average. And of course, some people use a lot more than that. Interestingly, one study found we only use about 700 words out of the 7,000 that have actual value, meaning out of all the words that we say, only about 10% of those actually hold some kind of value, meaning they do something more than just do this. Words are everywhere. If we speak this much, and some of us, like I said, get this many words in before breakfast, we're bound to say something that brings death to someone at some point. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So words are everywhere. Secondly, words penetrate within. Elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." This proverb, I love this imagery as well. It says our words are like a sword thrust. I don't know if you've ever watched someone who's done fencing or something like that, when it's not a lot of this, it's a lot of this. Because you can do, especially with that type of weapon, you can do a lot more damage with a thrust and a stab, because you can get a lot more of these in than you can get these in. And that's what it says, our words are like, they penetrate just like a dagger, like a sword cutting straight through you. They penetrate within. Our tongues torpedo relationships. They ambush reputations. Like a sword, our speech can lacerate a life in a matter of seconds. The thing that we say can either bring emotional life or emotional death to others. Elsewhere, and going on a little bit further in Proverbs 12, verse 25, it says this, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Think of a time when someone spoke exactly the right words at exactly the right time to you. Maybe you were going through some kind of trial, some kind of valley, and you were just so down, so depressed, and someone came along and spoke something to you that blessed you, that pulled you up out of that valley and encouraged you. Now think about the other side of that. At one point, you were having just a good day, a good week, things were going great, and then someone comes along and says something to you that just cuts you down like that. And you immediately go from that mountaintop experience down into the valley just because someone pushed you over the mountain just with their words. Words are everywhere. Words penetrate within. Thirdly, words spread far and wide. We say a lot of words and they go down deep. They also get spread far and wide. Proverbs 16:27 says, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." Perhaps you've experienced the pain that comes from a rumor that spreads like wildfire. Someone saying something about you somewhere, whether true or not. But they say it, and then all of a sudden it just starts spreading because they sold it to so-and-so, now so-and-so told it to the other so-and-so, and they sold it to... And it just spreads and spreads and spreads. It's no fun, is it? Words don't just evaporate once they're spoken. They're like burning embers that engulf an entire forest. I heard someone say once that words have tremendous power for good and evil. They take on a life of their own, and they hang out there forever. I mentioned Thursday night we were camping, and as we were cooking dinner Thursday night, we were using Dutch ovens and we had charcoal and everything else. And as cold as it was and everything else Thursday night, by Friday morning when we got up to fix breakfast, the embers were still burning because we had stacked them and piled them right in. And we were able to use them to cook breakfast with. Again, and then of course we had to extinguish them because otherwise it would have just kept on burning. And as dry as it is there, we would have been responsible for probably starting some kind of fire. Our words are just like those hot coals. If you just leave it sitting there, all it takes is just a little breeze and it comes back up again. That's what the words that we say are like. Words are powerful. Secondly, words can deliver death. Not only are words powerful, but words can deliver death. When I was growing up, I remember hearing catchy sayings and phrases that seemed to make a lot of sense, at least at the time, such as, "People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones." or a Rolling Stone gathers no moss. Another popular one was, and especially for those that were elementary, junior high age, where sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. You've probably heard some of those at least. It's actually not true, is it? Broken bones can heal. You might have some complications down the road, but either way, broken bones can heal, but words can wound and break our hearts. I've seen families completely torn apart because of the words spoken by one individual. And then I've seen that family go literally an entirety of time until, more than likely, typically, the way it goes, until someone's on their deathbed. And then they come back in, oh, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I'd never said that. I wish I would have made this right 40, 50 years ago. And yet, by that point, it's too late. The words were spoken, and then it just kept on going. And the wounds were never dressed. The wounds were never healed. We've all used venomous words at some point in our life. We've all, I'm sure, been on the receiving end of those same words as well. Proverbs lists several examples of how the tongue can be used to hurt, to destroy, and to kill. For sake of time, I'm not going to read all of the passages that go along with this, but in Proverbs 20, verse 19, the first way is through gossip. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand how many of you have ever started, contributed to, participated in a gossip session. Proverbs 20:19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. Gossip is usually fun, it's interesting, but when we feed on gossip, we'll always crave more. That's why there's an entire industry dedicated to that type of feeding, that type of media. When you're standing in line at the grocery store and you see magazines that say completely ridiculous, outlandish things. Or when you're scrolling through Facebook and you see what is now known as clickbait, these articles that say, you're never going to believe what so-and-so did. That's why when you get on the phone and you're like, did you see what so-and-so was wearing at church? Can you believe that they would walk into church like that? Gossip. One thing to remember is that the person who gossips to you and with you will more than likely gossip about you as well. Not only does Proverbs tell us about gossip, it also tells us about angry words. Some of you have experienced pain from being around someone who spews angry words all the time. Proverbs 29:22 says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Moving on, it talks about lying. Simply lying. Proverbs 6:17 says, a lying tongue is one of the six things that God hates. That's a strong word, isn't it? Hates. And especially if God hates it, that's got to tell you just how bad and how hurtful and how much we should try to avoid it. It adds in Proverbs 12:19 that truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Gossip, angry words, lying. Fourth, we find flattery. Most of us secretly enjoy flattery. When someone's come up to you and they start telling you all the good things about you, it makes you feel good about yourself, doesn't it? It makes you feel good when someone else sees how good you are. But Proverbs warns us to be on our guard against those who sweet talk, because it says in Proverbs 29, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. A flatterer is one who pats you on the back today only to locate a soft spot where they can insert a knife tomorrow, as one person once said. Fifthly, we find in Proverbs 29:20, impulsive speech. Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We've all experienced the horror of saying something too quickly as we open our mouth faster than what our mouth is going faster than what our brain's working. Apparently mine's not working this morning. But either way, and it's like the open mouth, insert foot, because we say something, and then as soon as it comes out and we hear it ourselves, we're like, well, that's not what I meant to say. That was horrible. that's what they're talking about. That's what the writer of Proverbs is talking about when talking about impulsive speech. So not only are words powerful, not only can words deliver death, but thirdly, we can see that words can launch life. Words are powerful because they can inflame or they can encourage. They can be used to bring death. They can also resuscitate a floundering life. We can belittle or we can bless. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." We've considered how our words, and we've spent a lot of time considering how our words can deliver death. But now real quickly, I want to look at how our tongues can launch life. Proverbs gives us three word pictures of how this can happen. First of all, Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." Our words are like refreshing water. When we listen to wise words, it's like taking a long drink of fresh spring water on a hot summer day. Especially when you've been out working outside, cutting grass, or doing whatever you're doing on a hot, humid day that we tend to get around here. You come in and you have a nice glass of ice-cold water. That refreshing experience that you get, it literally ignites you within. You could be coming in and just ready to lay down and seemingly die, but as soon as you drink that water, your body just gets refreshed and renewed. Not only does Proverbs tell us it's like refreshing water, it also tells us that it's like tasty food. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." At the time that this was written, honey was both a luxury and a medicine in ancient Israel. And when we talk tenderly with others, our words become priceless and provide healing to broken hearts. Not only does it feed the hunger, but it heals from within. Thirdly, it tells us that our words can be like expensive jewelry. Proverbs 25:11-12 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like an expert jeweler, our words should be balanced just right, beautiful in their appearance, and as valuable as gold and silver." Fortunately, we don't always use our words wisely. Came across a top 10 list of tongue-taming tools. It says, "Think more, talk less, listen better, encourage others, speak gently, cut others some slack, avoid gossip, tell the truth, stop boasting, and don't quarrel." Don't quarrel. Words can harm or they can heal. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You might say this morning, "Well, I have a problem with my words. I like to be the one that's sharing all that gossip. I like to hear the gossip. I like to get on." And words aren't just what you're speaking out of this. Words can be coming out of this too, or this. Especially in this day and age. Getting on social media and sharing post after post, or commenting, or whatever the case might be. Communication in and of itself. If we were to write this today, "Death and life are the power of the tongue," or the thumb if you're typing on your phone, or the fingers if you're typing on your keyboard. You might say, "Well, what can I do?" I'll close with this. First of all, you got to make things right with others. It's just like any other thing that you do against your neighbor, your brother, your sister. You have to make it right with others. If you've trespassed with your tongue, it's time to make it right. It's not just enough to be sorry with yourself and within yourself. You have to go to that person and say, "I know I've done this to you. I've said this about you, and I've seen what it has done. I've seen the hurt that it's caused, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" Secondly, you've got to yield your tongue to God. Romans 6:13 tells us, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Our human nature, if we rely on that in and of itself, we're gonna do this. We're gonna, just like that sword thrusting, that's what we're gonna do every time, because our human nature feeds off of things like that. That's why social media is as popular as it is. There's a whole science behind the scroll. There's a whole science behind the algorithm that social media uses to figure out what actually appears in that phone that you're seeing. There's a whole science to any kind of news network or anything else just to get their ratings up, because they know that's what we feed on. And if that's what you're relying on to get through this life, especially with our tongue and with our communication, you're going to fail every time. You got to make things right with others. You got to yield your tongue and your communication to God. Thirdly, you got to be part of the solution. When we intentionally engage by trying to help, it's much harder to be negative about something. You got to be, when others are around you, you're not part of the solution. If they start sharing it, and you, even if you're not contributing by saying something about someone, but you're definitely turning an ear to it, and you're like, I can't believe that. You're feeding off of it. Fourthly, you've got to feast on the Word of God. Last part of Proverbs 18:21 says, those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. One of the best ways to change your heart and make sure your speech is nutritious is to digest the Word of God on a daily basis. My mom, when I was growing up, used to tell me, what goes in is going to come out. Trash goes in, trash is going to come out. But if good things go in, good things are going to come out. If you're feasting entirely on bad things, on the gossip, on the lies, on the rumors, on the whatever the case might be, guess what? That's what's going to come out. Because that's what your body is digesting. That's what your mind is digesting. But if you're feasting on the Word of God, if you are gathering with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you're sharing what God is doing for you, all the good things, guess what's going to come out? It's going to be those good things. That's when people around you are going to see, that person's got something that I want. Because no matter what happens to them, they are always having a good word coming out. And fifthly and lastly, we'll close with this. You got to ask for a new heart. If we want to stop using words of death and begin speaking words of life, we not only need to make things right with others and yield our tongue to God, we may in fact need a completely different heart, a completely different mindset. Only God can give us the power we need to build others up instead of tearing them down. I'll close with this. In the book of Matthew, Jesus gives us some insight into this. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Our words are but the public pronouncement of the private place heart. What comes out of the mouth reveals what's in our hearts. Another way to say it is that our words reflect our true character. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this day. We thank you for what you've done for us, what you've given to us. Lord, as your word has told us, our words are a powerful thing. Our words can either cut people down, they can destroy people, or they can build them up. Lord, if there's a person here that's struggling with this morning, Father, I pray that they would just yield themselves fully to you. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do this. If there's one here that's never accepted you, maybe they've I've heard so many times people saying, I don't want to go to that church. I don't want to do this because those people are hypocrites. Because of the words that have been spoken by others in the past. And the harm and the death and destruction that's come out of that. Right from our very churches. Our families. Lord, I pray that they would accept you today. Father, I pray that you'd help us to guard our hearts. Guard our minds. And most of all, to guard our words. Help us to use our words to encourage those around us. to edify and build up those around us. Most of all, help us to use our words to share your love to a lost and dying. We love you.